Cloud Manager.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Good morning.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。
We pray you're all well.
祈祷大家一切都安好。
So, the last session during last week's class, we were left with some questions. So I thought we would begin by answering those questions and then let's see if there are other questions that arise as a result of answering those questions.
上周一的课结束后，我们还留下四个问题，所以今天我们先来回答这四个问题。如果在回答的过程当中又引发了大家的其他的问题，我们也可以继续来回答。
So we'll let this morning be questions and answers.
所以今天早上这堂课就是一个问答课。
So there were four questions that were left unanswered last week.
上周留下来四个问题。
And to make sure we're in the right consciousness, and we have mercy, we'll first appeal to Prabhupada and Mahaprabhu.And to the Vaishnavas.
为了让我们带着正确的、良好的知觉来听课，先向Srila Prabhupada、Mahaprabhu 以及 Vaishnava 奉献者们祈祷，得到他们的仁慈。
Om Ajnana Timinandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Niravisesha Shunyavadi Vashtityadesha Tarane Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gopakravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, you can ask the first question. Go ahead.
第一个问题是吴秀红麦德基的顶拜古的莲花族跟奉献者们在初期派经典时可以选择面向善良的人们派经典吗？派经典时要收费吗？
So this is two questions in one.
这是两个问题。
Should we choose those who look kind when we're distributing?
第一个问题就是我们在派书时初期派书时是不是应该先选择面向善良的人去派书？
I think if you ask that question to any book distributor around the world, they would answer no.
如果你，我想你如果去问全世界任何一个派书者，他们都会说不是。
The reason they would answer like that is,You know, although some persons look like they would be more receptive, they turn out not to be.
我们去问那些经常派书的奉献者，他们就会告诉你，有的人可能面相上看上去容易接受书，会买书，但结果却没买。
And oftentimes, those who look less receptive turn out to be the best candidates for receiving a book.
而往往那些刚开始看上去不那么容易接受的人反倒成了最佳的派书人选。
So if we simply judge persons externally, then, we may very much limit our ability to distribute books.
所以说如果我们只是外在的去评判只是去看面相的话那我们就派书的能力就大大的受限了。
We understand if we have practiced Krishna consciousness for any length of time, if we have carefully studied Srila Prabhupada's books and associated with more advanced devotees, we know that, you know, in this world, 99.9999% of the world's population are very much influenced by the lower modes of passionate ignorance.
如果我们修习 Krishna 之觉有一段时间，不管长短，如果我们也研习了圣帕瓦迪的书籍一段时间，也和奉献者联谊过，我们就很熟悉这样一个规律，一个现象。这个世界 99.9% 的人都在受着低等物质自然形态，也就是激情形态和愚昧形态的影响。
There is eternal spirit soul caught in a gross material body, gross and subtle material body.
那我们都是永恒的灵性的灵魂，只不过是被困在了物质的粗糙的躯体里。
So covered by the lower modes of nature, you know, they may have so many types of thoughts. And, you know, it's said that the face is the index to the mind. So influenced by the lower modes of passion and ignorance and the crazy thoughts that are running through their minds, you know, their face may kind of depict what is going on inside, and at times they may not look very happy. They may look morose. They may look unkind. So all of that's a manifestation of what's going on inside.
受到低等物质自然形态的影响，那一个人的心理心意里面可以有很多很多各种。各种纷繁复杂的想法，我们也听有句话说相由心生，所以有时候的确看人的面相表情就能知道，能看他忧郁的表情就知道心里肯定也有一些不愉快的想法，看他的面相是能明白他的一些心理活动的。
So if we judge persons just externally, then you know, we lose an opportunity to distribute a book to them, and they lose the opportunity to receive one.
但如果我们只是看面相，从外在的表现去评判一个人的话，那我们就会错失很多派书的机会，那很多人也会错失很多得到经典的机会。
So we need to look beyond the externals.
所以我们的视角一定要超越外在的表象。
At least philosophically, we have to be convinced that there is an eternal spirit soul that is residing within that body who badly needs to be reconnected with Krishna.
至少从哲学的层面，我们应该了解。在这物质躯体里面居住着一个永恒的灵性的灵魂，这个灵魂急需和 Krishna 重新连接起来。
So Vaishnava is Paraparaduki, he feels the suffering of the conditioned souls and wants to do whatever he can to try to alleviate their suffering.
Vaishnava 是 Paraparaduki, 他们是受不了别人受苦的人。所以看到众生在受苦，他们就会想方设法把这个机会给到他们。
This is the first point, just don't judge persons externally.
所以这是第一个要点，不要看，不要通过外在的表现去评判一个人。
At the same time, if it's, you know, obvious that some persons are more eager to receive by, you know, some very clear indication. And then, of course, you know, we should attend to those persons first.
但与此同时，如果我们看到有些人明显的表现出更渴望了解这个知识，更渴望获得书籍的特征，那我们也就应该优先去照顾这些人。
But that has to be something more than just their facial expressions.
但是一定不是仅仅去看面相。
The second point, do we need to charge when we distribute books?
第二个问题问到说派书的时候是不是要收费？
Ideally, we should get something when we distribute a book because we want to engage the person who is receiving a book from us, in devotional service. We want them to give so that they are performing yajna.
理想的情况来讲，我们派书是应该收一些费用的，因为通过收费，我们也是让接受书籍的人以某种程度参与到奉爱服务当中来了。
We want to engage them, that's the first point.
首要的我们考虑的是通过收费让他参与到奉爱服务当中来。
Second point is that if they give something, then, they have, sacrificed some of their, hard-earned wealth andGenerally, when someone does that, they value what they are purchasing.
第二个理由为什么要派书？为什么要收费？第二个理由就是，当他把他辛苦赚来的钱来付给我们，那然后去领了这本书，那他就会更珍惜。
Generally, people value something they paid for more.Than something they have received for free.
一般人们会更珍惜他们花钱买的东西，而不是那么珍惜免费得来的东西。
So Prabhupada, of course, he taught us these principles.
这些原则也是 Prabhupada 教给我们的。
That.We should distribute to whoever, wherever, and at the same time, if possible, we should get something from the person. There should be an exchange.
圣帕文说，我们的原则就是无论在哪儿，无论遇到谁，都去给他派书，而且呢，在可能的情况下，尽量要收一些费用。
That said, there are always extenuating circumstances.
但是也有一些例外的，总有一些例外的或者是极端的情况。
Certain places around the world, third world countries, some places people cannot afford. So, then some special arrangement, may be made.
比如说在一些国家，尤其是第三世界的国家，有的地方的人们确实是付不起，买不起书，那我们就可以做一些特别的安排。
For example, I remember many long years ago, when I was still running the BBT in Hong Kong, and in certain African countries, the economy was really, really bad. So, the devotee who was then in charge of those countries, Brahmananda Swami, he got donations from other, yatras or individuals in the more affluent parts of the world. And then we printed, large quantities of certain small titles.And we sent to Africa, and many of those books, as I understand, were distributed freely.
我记得多年前，当我还在香港负责 BBT 的时候，当时负责非洲亚刷的是 Brahmananda Swami， 他因为那些国家非洲的国家很多人买不起书，他就从其他一些更富裕的国家 筹集了一些捐款，然后我们就大量的印刷了很多小书派到非洲去。
There are also instances where devotees, they get sponsorship, from individuals or even companies or whatever, who have, an interest to distribute books. And, then they have the books that they can give out freely or they can give out for a, discounted price.
他们就向不同的人筹集布施，不同甚至找一些公司来集资，还会找一些奉献者愿意把自己的书免费送出去的，或者是打折卖出去的，从他们那里收集书籍。
Sometimes devotees will also give books complimentary to, it could be members of academia, could be professors and things like that, or different officials and like this, persons who are more influential in society. They might choose to gift books to them in the hopes that they'll read them and they'll become interested and want to recommend them to others.
有时候奉献者也会选择赠书给社会上有影响力的人，政府官员或者是某个领导，希望他们能够接受这个礼物，能够读了这个书，凭着他们的影响力也影响更多的人来读这个书。
As I mentioned, I believe I've mentioned in the past thatA number of devotees around the world, but in China as well, they're using social media as a way to sell books.
之前我也提过，在全世界很多地方有奉献者通过一些社交媒体，通过网络派书，当然中国也有。
As I understand, in China, a number of devotees are using WeChat, and, they're...approaching their contacts or contacts of their contacts, and some have been quite successful distributing books that way. So they're not even seeing the person, so to speak, face to face, but via WeChat, they're able to convince someone or interest someone in purchasing a book.
有的中国的奉献者也是通过微信来派书。他们就针对他们微信上的联系人，或者是他们的联系人的联系人来给他们介绍书籍，可能都没有见过对方，但是都能够去说服对方来买书。
So that's another way that one could distribute.
这也是派书的另外一个渠道。
So ideally, if there can be an exchange, someone can give something in exchange for the book.That's best.
所以说理想的情况下就是最好对方能够付费来买书，那就应该收取一些费用，这是最好的。
But the overarching principle is that somehow or another, we have to get Srila Prabhupada's books into the hands of the conditioned souls who badly need them.
最根本的原则就是无论如何，无论以什么方式，我们一定要把圣帕巴德的书送到急需要 Krishna 之觉的受条件限制的灵魂的手中。
And if we have that burning desire within us, then as the saying goes, with a will, there's a way.
如果我们内心真的始终都燃烧着这样的强烈的想要派书的愿望的话，那么就像那句话所说的，有志者事竟成，有愿望就会有办法。
Just like if one's in a burning building, and there are persons of other nationalities who speak a different language than we do, even though we don't speak their language and they don't understand the words we speak.We will certainly be able to convince them to get out of that burning building.
就像是一栋楼里面着了火，住在这栋楼里面的几家人，是来自不同国家的人，也互相不了解对方的语言，但是因为在如此紧急的情况下，即便无法理解对方的语言，你也是有办法去传递你的讯息，提醒对方尽快的脱离险境。
So this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It is temporary and is full of misery. It is burning.
这个地方，这个世界就是 dukkhalayam ashashvatam， 是一个烈火燃烧的森林。
So somehow or another, we have to convince persons to take Prabhupada's books.
所以我们一定要千方百计想办法让人得到 Prabhupada 的书籍。
And as Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, the definition of utsaha or enthusiasm, is endeavor guided by intelligence.
就像在教会的甘露当中，释迦牟尼佛对热情 utsaha 这个词的定义，他说热情就是在智慧的指导下去行动。
So we have to tax our brains, how to distribute, in a manner appropriate according to the time, place, and circumstance.
所以我们一定要好好的动动脑筋，绞尽脑汁，去想想在特定的时间、地点、场合下，如何以恰当的方式、得体的方式去排书。
I think that's what we could say. I mean, we could say much more, but I think that's the basic points I wanted to make for that first couple questions.
就第一组问题，我想说的就这么多。
As we roll on, in the not too distant future, we're hoping to create a forum. And perhaps some training of poor devotees to gain the necessary tools, skills, and experience to distribute Prabhupada's books in your country according to time, place, and circumstance.
我们也打算到以后呢，也组织一个平台来训练培训一批奉献者去在中国派书，让他们掌握派书的一些基本技巧，请有经验的奉献者来分享派书的经验。
Okay, we can go on to the second. It's not like there's like three questions in one, so this the second grouping of questions.
Yes, 我们来看第二位奉献者问的问题。第二组问题是高进，迪麦古鲁。实际上，我们遇到的困难都是主的仁慈，是吗？他想要给我们启示，那我们应该怎么面对？什么样的困难是要迎难而上？什么样的困难是要躲避？
Just a second here. I'm looking for something. Okay. So are all the difficulties we face Krishna's mercy? That really depends how we see difficulties.
我们遇到的困难都是主的仁慈，都是 Krishna 的仁慈吗？这取决于我们怎么样去看待困难。
The nature of this world is difficulty. So, you know, we're always going to experience some variety and some intensity of difficulty.
这个物质世界的本质就是它是充满困难的。我们总是会体验到某种程度的某种类型的困难。
I mean, that we have to understand that the Krishna has already certified the material world as Dukkhalayama Shaspatam. So that's the way this world works.
Krishna 已经给这个物质世界贴了标签了，这个物质世界就被称为是 Dukkhalayama Shaspatam， 是短暂而充满痛苦的世界。
But we see in the example of great devotees, like our own Srila Prabhupada, that when faced with extreme difficulty, he considered that Krishna's mercy.
我们可以看一下那些伟大的奉献者是怎样面对困境的。就比如我们的 Srila Prabhupada, 他遇到极端困境的时候，他都会把它看作是Krishna 的仁慈。
When he was in Jhansi trying to set up a preaching center, a temple, then he received the telegram that his servants, his assistants had plundered, you know, his business and everything had been taken from him. He lost everything.
是 Prabhupada 曾经打算就在湛西省成立一个传教中心，建立一座庙宇，但是有一天他就突然收到电报，听说他的药店的助理将他药店的所有财产洗劫一空。
You know, and he quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam that basically says ifKrishna is especially pleased with someone, he would take everything away so that that person has nothing else other than Krishna, no other shelter.
当时 Srila Prabhupada 就引用了圣殿波迦瓦坛的一个师节，师节的大意是，如果 Krishna 特别钟爱一个人，他就会拿走他的一切，让他除了 Krishna 一无所有。
So that's how Prabhupada, how he saw these difficulties.
这是 Srila Prabhupada 看待困难的方式。
We also know in the prayers of Lord Brahma that, you know, after he's been humbled and he comes to his senses, then he glorifies the Lord.
我们从 Brahma 的祈祷当中也看出来了，当 Brahma 被迫谦卑下来，终于恢复了理智之后，他就开始荣耀主。
And in one beautiful verse that we often quote, he appreciates that. The Lord is very kind to the devotee. And if one just continues to steadfastly engage in the practices of bhakti, that he certainly will get the ultimate result.
在这个诗节，我们经常引用的主 Brahma 的这个诗节，他说，主对奉献者是那么的仁慈，即便是在，如果是在每当遇到困境的时候，如果这个奉献者依然坚持不懈的稳处在 Bhakti 的休息当中，那么早晚主会给予他最高的益处。
This is 10.14.8.
圣殿波迦瓦坛的第十篇第十四章的第八十节。
Tenukampam susamikshamano bunjala evatma kritam vipakam vidvag vipapurbir viradam namaste jivatayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. You have a translation?
Yes.
Go ahead.
第十章第十篇第十四章第八十节。 我亲爱的主，由衷等待您赐予无缘仁慈的人会始终耐心忍受一己过往的恶行的反应，以他的心、言语和躯体向您致以前进礼拜。他必有资格获得解脱，因为这是他的合法权利。
So of course, our Srila Sridhar Swami, he in his commentary, he basically explains that just as a legitimate son simply has to remain alive to gain inheritance from his father, one who remains alive in Krishna consciousness, continuing to follow the process, he automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the Lord.
在要旨当中 Srila Sridhar Swami 在他评述中解释说，就像孩子只要活着就可以从父亲那里得到继承权，人若始终活在 Krishna 知觉中，遵守父爱瑜伽的规范守则，便自动有资格获赐人格守神的仁慈。
So, this is certainly the way that advanced devotees would view difficulties, and this is how they would receive them.
这就是进步的奉献者看待和接受困难的方式。
And so I think that answers the second part also, that if Krishna wants us to teach a lesson through difficulties, what should be our attitude? Well, that's our attitude. That should be our attitude.
这样一来我们也就回答了第二个问题，如果 Krishna 想给我们启示，我们应该怎样去面对，应该以什么样的态度去面对，也回答了这个问题了。
At the same time, you know, Prabhupada said that we should be, careful, you know, in terms of health issues. We should do everything we can to keep the body and soul together.
当然与此同时，圣Prabhupada也提醒过我们，我们要注意身体。保持健康，做所有必要的保持健康的事情，保持健康。
Just because we're eternal spirit soul and we're not the body doesn't mean that we don't try to take care of the body as far as possible.
我们是灵性的灵魂，不是这个躯体，但这并不意味着我们就不用努力去照顾躯体，保持健康了。
Because after all, it's Krishna's body, so we're supposed to take care of it.
因为说到底这也是这个躯体也是属于 Krishna 的，所以我们要照顾好它。
So within reason, we do this. That was Prabhupada's example. It's Krishna's body. We should try to keep it as healthy as we can so we can use it as a fit vehicle to be utilized in Krishna's service.
Srila Prabhupada 也是这样以身作则来示范给我们的，也就是我们以合理的方式去照顾好这个身体，这样的话就身体就是一个恰当的工具，可以让我们用来服务 Krishna。
So that's one category of difficulties we might face, adi atmika, those come body and mind.
这是我们会面临的一类困难。Adhyatmika 就是来自于我们自身的身心的困难。
And so, you know, other living entities, you know, whether that is other human beings or other creatures in this world, you know, what we try our best to lead an honest life. And do things in a proper way so we don't invite aggression.
第二类痛苦，我们在这个物质世界面临的第二类痛苦就是其他生物体给我们的痛苦。那这方面呢，我们努力过诚实的生活，以恰当的方式去做事，尽量的 不招致这些其他生物体的侵犯。
And as Rupa Goswami, he tells us in the Nectar of Devotion that we should be honest in our ordinary dealings.
就像在教会的甘露当中 ，Rupa Goswami 提醒我们的，在日常打交道的过程当中，日常事务当中，我们应该诚实。
So we try to do things properly, just like we're in this this global pandemic. So we take precaution. It probably says.I think more than once, devotees have quoted from a letter the Prabhupada wrote that this is common sense, just common sense, cleanliness and so on.
所以呢，在日常的生活当中，我们也是尽量的以按照常理以恰当的方式去做事。就比如说我们现在面临。泛滥全球的这个疫情，我们也是尽量的采取必要的防护措施。奉献者们也多次引用到圣帕帕德的信件当中所说的，圣帕帕德说这是常识，保持洁净。
So it's you know time, place, and circumstance. We use common sense.As to how we conduct our affairs and how we respond to the different kinds of obstacles and difficulties that come our way.
所以在某一种某个时间某个地点或者是某个具体的场合下遇到一些困难，我们就要根据当时的时间地点场合去考虑运用我们的常识以恰当的方式去应对。
In some cases we can do something about it, in other cases we can't, and I think that prayer from Lord Brahma is very appropriate and one that we can remember and reflect on in times of difficulty.
那有的情况下在面临有的困难的时候我们是有办法可以，但有时候遇到一些困难我们是没有办法的。我想在这时候主 Brahma 刚刚我们读的主 Brahma 献给Krishna 的这个祷文就很贴切。
Haribo. Okay, third question.
第三个问题，顶拜古莲花族在唱诵圣名时记里说不要对一个全无信念的人宣扬圣名的荣耀。我们看书时有时也不确定这个人肯定能看这本书，这样的情况下这个人可能因为个人信任或面子原因接受了经典，这样的派发也是取悦 Krishna 的吗？因为不确定派书之后的情况，也是担心当时接受了之后是否有对经典的冒犯，请教咕噜 Hare Krishna.
Well, the thing is, and we kind of explained this earlier, people are very much controlled by the modes of nature, particularly the lower modes.
我们刚刚也解释了，大部分人是在受着低等物质自然形态的影响的。
So when we approach them to distribute books, well, they may have all kinds of responses and all kinds of emotions. You know, they may feel, as stated here, embarrassed to refuse us, or because they kind of trust us, they may take a book.We don't know. We can't be absolutely sure that they're going to read it.
所以的确，我们在去找不同的人给他们派书的时候，我们会看到人们会有各种各样的反应，各种各样的感受。像您这里说的，的确有人会因为不好意思拒绝我们，碍于面子，或者是只是因为对我们的信任而领了书。但是我们没法绝对的肯定他是不是去会看这个书。
Again, Experience has shown that persons we think that will read the books don't, and those that we think will not read the books do.
同样的，根据经验，我们发现有很多情况下，我们觉得这个人不会读这个书的，但结果他是读了。有时候我们觉得这个人会读的，但他却没读。
So I don't think we should be so kind of mental about this.
所以我想我们就不用太纠结这个事情了。
Somehow or another, get them to take the book.
不管怎么样，先让他们拿到书。
You know, we're planting seeds.
我们现在派书呢是在播种。
If possible, if we ourselves or others that we may know can help these persons to study the books by having, you know, kind of reading groups or some classes on a particular book and invite those persons who have received the book to participate, well, that could help. That could help a lot. Could help.To encourage them to study the books in the association of others.
如果我们自己或者其他一些奉献者有能力能够帮助引导这些领了书买了书的人进一步的去学习这些书籍的话，那就更好了。
That's best if we can do something like that.
如果能这样派了书还能够进一步引导他们学习的话，那是最好的。
And if possible, we should get their contact information so that we can stay in touch with them.
如果有可能的话，那在派了书之后，我们要留下对方的联系方式，以便进一步的能够联系到他们。
So if we're distributing books, it's like planting seeds. And, you know, if we can also help to cultivate,so much the better.
我们派了书就是播下了种子，但如果留下了他们的联系方式，日后就有机会进一步的去培养，那是最好的。
So yes, there is no doubt that Krishna is pleased by distributing books to anybody.
毫无疑问，我们把书派给任何人，这都会取悦 Krishna 的。
How do we know Krishna is pleased? Because we know Prabhupada is pleased.
我们怎么知道 Krishna 是不是取悦被取悦了？因为我们很确定派了书，圣 Prabhupada 一定会被取悦，所以 Krishna 一定会被取悦。
And nothing gave Srila Prabhupada more pleasure than to see, to hear how his books were being distributed around the world.
没有什么比听到他的书被派出去了，被派到了全世界，更让圣帕帕的感到喜悦的。
So if Prabhupada's pleased, Krishna's pleased.
Prabhupada 被取悦了， Krishna 就必然被取悦了。
And, you know, even if one doesn't read or doesn't read very much, he still gets benefit. He gets benefit just by holding the book.
即便 拿了书的人并没有读，他也是受益的。他只是通过拿摸这个书，他都会受益。
Or gives a little donation for purchasing transcendental literature, gets benefit.
他付钱买这个超然的文献，本身他都已经受益了。
Or if he opens a book and reads even one line, he gets eternal benefit.
打开书呢，他只读一行，他都获得了永恒的益处。
So somehow or another, we should get the books into the hands of as many people as we can.
所以呢，无论如何，我们要想方设法把圣帕帕的书送到尽可能多的人的手中。
Okay, the fourth question.
第四个问题，你要传人跑步。Hare Krishna 顶拜 Maharaj 和奉献者们，对于那些知道 Hare Krishna Mantra 但不念诵，买了国家梵歌但看不懂的人，应该给他们讲什么内容的课？谢谢。
Well, that's always going to be the case. We can offer it, and some people are going to agree to receive and others not.
经常会有这样的情况，我们把这个礼物呈现出来了，总有人会接受，总有人会不接受。
But you know, our responsibility as preachers is to try to encourage people through various means by our encouragement or putting them in contact with others who may have more ability than us to cultivate them. You know, we try like anything to get people to chant and to get people to read.
作为传教者，我们的责任就是，想方设法，无论以什么方式去鼓励对方，不然，或者是我们自己去鼓励，或者是我们把他介绍给更有能力去引导他、鼓励他的人去鼓励他。我们一定是想尽各种办法去鼓励他们念诵读书。
My experience is that if somehow or another.We can facilitate someone's experience. If they can get an experience while chanting, that can be an impetus for them to want to continue.
我的经验就是，如果我们能够设法让人们去体验念诵是怎样的。去帮助他去体验这个念诵的过程，那他就能够坚持继续做下去。
It's like when we do our public kirtan program, we try to encourage people to fully immerse themselves, at least for that hour or two, with the aim that we want them to get an experience, that they should really try. We encourage them justTry to chant from the heart. Try to chant loudly. Try to meditate on the mantra.
就像我们在做对外的唱诵节目的时候，我们就会鼓励人们，至少在那一两个小时内，尽量的让自己完全沉浸在、专注在这个曼陀罗的唱诵当中来，努力尝试着去唱诵。去获得这种体验。
And if they get some experience, which they always do, someone always does, then that will help to propel them forward.
得到了这种唱诵的体验以后，他们就会受到激励，会继续念诵、唱诵下去。
Because if they get some pleasure out of the process of chanting, then they'll want to continue.
因为他们体验到了一点唱诵的快乐，所以就想继续下去。
So that's one point about chanting.
这是关于念诵。
You know, we could also, for such people that we contact, you know, through programs and so on, and they've had some experience, and perhaps this has sparked a little interest in them, then we could continue to cultivate them online as well, and we could have online chanting sessions. It doesn't always have to be kirtan. It could be even japa. Around the world, many devotees have this, where they chant together online. So, you know, again, it's about giving persons an initial experience, you know, something they can really embrace, and then further cultivation afterwards that will help to facilitate their practice.
就像我们可以不一定是 kirtan 唱诵，我们甚至可以和那些我们在做对外节目当中所吸引进来的人，那些感兴趣的我们又留了他们联系方式的人，我们可以组织线上的一起的念诵。让他们能够有这样的体验，通过这种方式进一步的去培养他们。
A similar way, when we distribute books, you know, if we know the books well, and as we present the book and what's inside of it, perhaps some of our words, some of our presentation will strike a chord with the people, and they will understand that, well, if I do read this, then I'll get some very profound benefits.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Well, that's not my problem. I don't know what you
could
were doing to get distracted. You're supposed to be translating. Why should you be distracted?
Could you please repeat?
Yeah, I said that if the distributor, the person who's distributing the book, knows the content well, knows the book well, but when he presents it, he or she presents it, that she'll be able to inject a little bit of the philosophy and make it clear to the people the benefits of reading the book.
如果派书者本人就很精通，很了解他所派的书，那在给对方介绍派书的时候。 给对方介绍的时候，他就应该，去运用其中的一些哲学，说服对方，告诉对方，如果你读了的话，会受益无穷。Especially
in the context of the Bhagavad Gita, so it's a book that answers all the important questions of life.
尤其是《薄伽梵歌》，《薄伽梵歌》能够解决、回答我们生命当中的所有问题。And
if people can understand that, then that will be an impetus, you know, for them to want to read it.
如果能够通过你的讲述让对方了解到《薄伽梵歌》的重要性，它的力量，让对方就有兴趣去读了。
Now, if you say they can't understand, well, then that's perhaps our shortcoming in our presentation. We have to teach in such a way that they can understand.
所以问题不是说对方看不懂，而是我们呈现的方式。我们要以能够让对方容易理解的方式去给他讲解。And
we can organize classes for new persons who don't know anything or very much, so that when we make the presentation, it's something they can easily understand.
如果我们了解，对方的情况，他们还对这个经典还很不了解，那我们在准备的讲课的时候，就要考虑他们的情况，想方设法把用他们容易理解的方式去呈现。You
know, if they say they can't understand, then perhaps we should simplify our presentation and only make a few points so that they can understand.
如果有人说他们看不懂或者听不懂，那我们就要想想是不是我们讲课的时候要简化一点，一次性少讲几个要点，确保他们能够把讲的要点理解。We
should have the ability to present Krishna consciousness even to a child.
我们应该有能力给甚至给一个小孩讲懂Krishna知觉。We
have to make that relevant to them, to the individual.
我们讲的方式一定要让每一个人具体的人他能够产生共鸣，能够理解。
So those are some thoughts. Certainly we could say more, but I think those are the answers I'd like to give this morning.
对于这四个问题，就刚刚我就分享了我的想法，当然要展开再讲，还能讲得更多。今天早上我就想先分享这么多。
Now there are some, looks like some questions on the chat. Zoom chat.
我们看还有一些新的问题。Satimadaji, 还有新的问题吗？哦，看到了。Yes, 第一个问题，聆听，请问 Guru, 如果一个女奉献者结婚了，但是出于某些原因她选择不生育孩子，那么她是罪恶的吗？The first question, if a female devotee get married, but because of some reason, she chooses not to beget a child, is that a sin?
It's not a sin. I don't know any place where it's stated it's actually a sinful act not to have a child.
这不是罪恶，我不记得哪里有说过说不生育孩子是一种罪。
But, you know, that is a general norm in household life, that persons do get together to have a child. It's part of the grihastha ashram.
这是家庭生活的一个常规，一般夫妻结合在一起。就是为了生是主要是为了生育孩子，这是 grihastha 居士生活的重要的一部分。
Generally,
一般来说
，there are always exceptions. There may be cases where both husband and wife are older, you know, and they choose not to have children. I mean, there are Again, for everything, there's extenuating circumstances.
刚刚说一般情况下，居士生活，是一般都会生孩子，照顾孩子，但是也有总是会有一些极端的情况或者是例外，比如说夫妻双方年纪都稍微大一些了，所以就会选择不要孩子。
Now, one thing is to help guide. Grihasthas and devotees who are even contemplating going into the grihastha ashram. You know, there is a book, I'm sure you're all aware of it by now, The Heart and Soul Connection, that was put together by the Grihastha Vision Team. And it gives a lot of information about different aspects of grihastha life.
对于正在考虑进入 grihastha生活的奉献者，我想可能最近出的一本书大家都看到了，叫做《心与灵魂的连接》，这是由grihastha 愿景团队的奉献者们编撰的，里面就有更多的细节。
So that book is available.
现在大家是买得到这本书的。
And one devotee couple, the two main devotees who were involved with putting this book together, as I understand, they will be giving an online talk to the devotees there at some point in the not too distant future.
负责编撰这两本书的一对奉献者夫妻，据我了解，不久之后不久以后他们也会在线给奉献者来讲课的。
So that would allow for an opportunity to ask them directly such questions.
那这样的问题到时候我们就可以直接问他们了。
They have a lot of experience.
他们有丰富的经验。
Beyond the book, you know, much of their service is just giving seminars, giving guidance, and so on.
他们的主要的服务就是去举办讲座，来给予人们咨询指导。
They have been doing this for a long time, so they're quite experienced at it.
这个服务他们已经做了很长时间了，所以在这方面他们有大量丰富的经验。
Okay, next.
Rajendra Prabhu, 感谢 Maharaj 给时间提问，感谢翻译和主持。奉爱服务是令人愉悦的活动，传教是更令人激励的活动。为什么还有以下说法？服务太累了，做不了那么多，需要休息下。这个原因是什么？如何调整？ Thank you Maharaj for giving us enough time to raise questions and for answering the questions. It's said that devotional service is joyfully performed and preaching is even a more exciting activity. But why sometimes devotees said that devotional service is so tiring, I can't do so much services, I need rest. Why is that? How can we adjust?
Well, there could be different reasons for that.
会有不同的原因。
You know, one reason, I mean, there could be practical considerations, age, health, energy levels. I mean, they vary from devotee to devotee.
当然这个因人而异，一方面是因为一些实际的原因，比如说这奉献者年龄大了，或者身体不好，或者的确体力跟不上。
So we have to take that into consideration.
所以这些实际的因素都应该考虑到。
And see how to balance everything in such a way that, you know, we're able to steadily sustain our service and not kind of reach a tipping point where, you know, our health can't sustain it. And then we get ill or we become so exhausted that we can't sustain it.
所以呢，考虑到这些实际的情况，我们就要想方设法做一个很好的平衡，保证我们能够持续的把这个服务做下去，不要因为身体原因到某个时候累垮了，没办法再继续做这个服务了，所以一定要平衡好。
Again, I will speak, you know, from the perspective of common sense.
我想再次强调一下，常识。
You know, by his own example, Prabhupada taught us that, you know, we should exercise daily, we should eat a healthy diet, and we should get sufficient rest. Of course, in Prabhupada's case, he didn't really need to rest very much, but he encouraged the other devotees to get sufficient rest.
圣 Prabhupada 也亲自以身作则的在教导了我们如何保持健康，比如说要规律的做运动，要有健康的饮食，要有充足的休息。当然他本人不需要太多的休息，可是他会强调提醒其他奉献者要有充足的休息。
This is common sense.
这都是常识。
Now, oftentimes devotees will quote, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, that at one point it stated that, in purport, that, you know, one who sleeps more than 6 hours is in the mode of ignorance.
有时候奉献者会引用《薄伽梵歌》某一个世界要旨当中圣帕帕的所说的那句话，说一个人如果睡眠超过6个小时，他就处在愚昧形态。
Reading that quote, a devotee may think, well, then I certainly can't sleep more than 6 hours, or otherwise I'll be in the mode of ignorance, so other people will think I'm in the mode of ignorance.
读了这句话之后呢，有的奉献者就想，那我绝不能睡6个小时以上，不然的话，我就处在愚昧形态了，别人就会以为我在愚昧形态中。
So they try to sleep less than.
于是就会尝试去减少睡眠。
But the thing is, your body may require more rest.
但是或许他却恰恰是需要更多的睡眠的。
And because they have not rested sufficiently, they're always falling asleep. When they chant, they fall asleep. Every time they sit down, they fall asleep.
睡眠不足的话，那每次坐下来念诵的时候就容易打瞌睡。
I have seen certain devotees who I know quite well that every time She gets into a car that she falls asleep within a few minutes. It's just like clockwork.
我也了解有一些奉献者，每次上了车就睡着，这就像他的生物钟一样。
We're fortunate that she's not in the driver's seat.
但好在他没有坐在驾驶员的座位上。
Fortunately, she's just a passenger.
幸好还只是乘客。
So, you know, Prabhupada, on one hand, he said, yes, we should try to, minimize eating and sleeping. But on the other side, he got upset when devotees artificially reduced bodily necessities, and they were always exhausted, sleepy, inattentive.
当然，我们也知道圣卡巴是说过，我们要把要减少饮食和睡眠要减少，但是另一方面，圣卡巴也不希望看到奉献者人为的刻意的减少躯体的需求，结果搞得精疲力尽。
So by organizing one's life to live in a more regulated way, that will go a long way to ensuring good health and, as far as possible, produce the highestamount of energy, that can be sustained.
所以安排好自己的生活作息，过规律的生活，这样的话就能保证健康，保持足够的精力，去持续的做服务。
So that's one side.
这是一方面。
The other side is how we keep ourselves spiritually enlivened through the practice.
另一方面，就是我们怎样让自己通过认真的奉爱服务修习，始终保持活跃。
It depends on how we choose to practice Krishna consciousness.
这就取决于我们选择怎样去修习 Krishna 知觉。
Are we chanting attentively?
念诵是不是专注？
I'll say it again and again because my experience that oftentimes devotees, when they sit down to chant japa, they don't even pronounce the mantra properly.
这一点我真得反复来说，因为往往我们会看到奉献者坐下来念诵的时候，连音都发不清楚。
Or they easily get distracted and they're not really paying attention to what they're chanting. It's mindless chanting.
或者是心不在焉的去念诵，根本都没有注意到自己在念的是什么。
But if we just follow Prabhupada's simple instruction, pronounce each word distinctly and listen very attentively, then, the Maha Mantra will very quickly purify the consciousness.
我们只要按照圣帕帕简单的训示来做，就足以让这个 Maha Mantra 净化我们的知觉，那就是清晰的去发出每一个音，然后专注的聆听每一个词。
And as Krishna, as we're kind of connecting with Krishna and we're pleasing Krishna through the service of chanting, well, we become enlivened. We become enlivened.
因为我们通过念诵和 Krishna 连接起来了，我通过这个服务。取悦了 Krishna， 所以我们自然会通过这个服务让自己保持活跃的状态。
So it's my experience that if we chant properly, that we will always remain enlivened.
我的个人的经验就是，只要我们念诵念得好，我们就在奉爱服务当中会始终保持活跃。
Coupled with that, we have to study Prabhupada's books. If we're really studying Prabhupada's books.On a daily basis, I don't see how one cannot remain enlivened.
那除了很好的专注的念诵，还有就是每天要认真的研习 Prabhupada 的书籍。如果 每天能够认真的读圣帕瓦迪的书，我就不相信还无法保持活跃了。
If you have good relationships with other devotees and you're in the mood of serving them, I don't see how you can't remain enlivened.
如果和其他奉献者保持良好的关系，总是保持一种很好的服务他们的心态，我就想不出怎么还可能不活跃呢？
So if you're living a regulated lifestyle, if you're practicing properly, and you are getting, you're experiencing the fruit of that, then naturally, you know, you'll want to give this to someone. To the extent that you are tasting it to yourself, actually experiencing yourself, to that extent, you'll have this burning desire to want to share it with others.
如果你在过着规律有序的生活，自己又在做着认真的规范修习，你自然的会很受鼓舞，在奉爱服当中保持得很活跃，能够体验到这种奉爱休息的品味。你能获得多体验到多少品味，你就有多大的热情和强烈的愿望去把它派发给别人。
At the same time, we have to find a balance, you know, between our practice of sadhana and our other like practical services. Sometimes devotees will only be fixed on their practical service and they will neglect their sadhana bhakti. And okay, if you do that, gradually you'll forget why you're doing this service to begin with and you'll feel unenlivened. You have to do both.
还有一点就是我们要平衡好自己的 sadhana 规范休息和实际的奉爱服务。有时候奉献者忙于只是忙于实际的奉爱服务，忽略了自己的沙旦呢，这样长此以往下去的话，慢慢你就会忘记你做这些实际的服务是为了什么，这样的话你就会失去在奉爱服务当中的活跃热情。
Prabhupada mentioned the most important instructiongiven by the spiritual master is to chant 16 rounds.
圣帕瓦迪也说了，灵训导师给的训示当中最重要的一条就是每天念好16圈。
Another place Prabhupada says, chant 16 rounds before doing anything else.
还有一个地方圣帕瓦迪说，念完16圈然后再做别的事。
So we have to remain in the fire of Krishna consciousness by, you know, practicing our sadhana bhakti in a regulated way.
所以我们要通过规范的从事 sadhana bhakti 奉爱规范修习，始终处在 Krishna 智觉的烈火当中。
And I think if one does so, one will feel enlivened. He'll feel inspired.
这样的话就会始终感到备受鼓舞，保持活跃。
Next question.
下一个 Rajendra Prabhu 转发帖子，就是在帮别人问是吧？为何要有家庭呢？虽然听说过男女在一起是为了 Krishna 孕育后代，但为何我们的社会文明会走向一夫一妻制，而非远古时一妻多夫或者一夫多妻，或者甚至连甚至连夫妻关系都没有呢？为何我们的社会文明会走向甚至
Hello.
Have difficulty understanding the latter part of this question. 为何我们的社会文明会走向一夫一妻制而非远古时的Rajendra Prabhu is asking some questions on behalf of some other devotees. Why do we need to have family? Also, we've heard that a man and a woman, they get together just to beget Krishna conscious offsprings. We know that in ancient times, one husband can, could have many, more than one wife. And a wife can have more than one husband. But what today is only one husband, one wife. And why is, why the relationship, when the husband-wife relationship is needed, or just for begetting children?
Well, you know, Prabhupada said, he told men that if they could remain brahmachari, they should do so and avoid the complication of grihastha ashram.
我们知道Srila Prabhupada跟男奉献者说过，男的如果有可能的话，就保持一直保持 brahmachari， 就不用卷入复杂的 grihastha 居士生活了。
And he also advised that all the ladies should be married.
但同时他也建议说，所有的女性都应该结婚。
So some of the leaders were perplexed. If all the men should remain brahmachari and all the ladies should be married, then how will this work?
那有的人读了这两个圣事之后就有点迷惑了。那圣帕帕的一方面建议所有的男性都保持 brahmachari， 遵守一生，又同时建议所有的女性结婚，这个怎么办得到呢？
Prabhupada said, that's your management.
他不看是就看你自己怎么去处理了。
The thing is, very few remain brahmachari, very few become sannyasis. That is the nature of the world, and it's certainly the case in Kali Yuga.
但是问题是在这个世界，尤其是在卡利年代，极少有人能够一生保持真守，或者直接就做sannyasi。
If one can do it, one should.
如果能做到就应该去做。
But most can't.
但大部分人做不到。
They need companionship.
需要伴侣。
And they need the type of, relationship and the psychological, emotional kind of satisfaction that one might find in grihastha ashram.
很多人需要 grihastha ashram 居士生活，给他们的这种关系需要心理上情感上的满足。
So it's not just about having a child.
所以不光是为了孕育后代。
It's about having that kind of mutual psychological emotional satisfaction.
是为了互相从对方那里得到心理上或者还有情感上的满足。But
as we said early on, generally, grihastha ashram, a part of it is to have children. And as devotees, or at least as aspiring devotees, we're advised by Lord Rishabhdev not to become a parent, teacher, a spiritual leader, unless and until one has the wherewithal to deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death.
就像您这里说的确一般来说男女在一起是为了孕育Krishna为Krishna孕育后代，但同时我们也听到主Rishabhadev的训示说，如果一个人，他托庇于他的人，想依靠他的人，拯救出生死轮回，让他们摆脱生死轮回，那他就没有资格去做父母、做老师或者做灵性导师。
So we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that this is an ashram. Ashram means a place where spiritual activities are to be conducted.
那我明白这个叫做grihastha ashram. Ashram的意思是这是一个从事灵性活动的地方。
There's two terms, grihastha and grihamedi. Grihastha means one who follows the principles of, you know, the Vedic direction and leads one's life in terms of those principles. So their relationship, their dwelling place, you know, is an ashram. It's meant for spiritual practice.
有两个词，一个是 grihastha， 一个是 grihamedi。grihastha 就意味着这个居士他会按照伟大生活的原则、规范原则去引导自己的生活，让自己在居士生活阶段的关系、生活环境都有利于自己灵修。
On the other side is grihamedi, and that means just leading a life of sense gratification. Then it's all just meant for that, just for enjoying the senses.
Grihamedi 这样的居士生活就完全是感官享乐的，是为了感官享乐的。
All revolving around illicit sex.
全围绕着非法性生活。
So there's a vast difference between Grihamedi and Grihastha.
Grihamedi 和 Grihastha 这两种不同的居士生活是有天壤之别的。
So, you know, we should aspire to be Grihasthas and conduct our affairs properly. And if we do so, then, you know, both husband and wife and children can make spiritual advancement.
所以呢，我们要进入居士生活的话，要就要做 grihastha， 这样的话，夫妻双方还有孩子都能够取得灵性进步。
You know, we know that the majority of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were grihasthas.
我们知道 Srila Prabhupada 的门徒当中大部分都是 grihastha。
We know that the majority of devotees in ISKCON are grihasthas.
ISKCON 的大部分奉献者也都是 grihastha 居士。
And there's many wonderful advanced devotees.
而且在这些居士奉献者当中不乏大量的非常优秀的进步的奉献者。
So the grihastha ashram is certainly no, it's not a deterrent. It's not an obstacle if we conduct our affairs properly according to Guru Sadhu and Shastra.
所以说，如果在 grihastha 生活阶段，我们如果能够按照 Guru Sadhu Shastra 三大权威的教导来做事的话，那么 grihastha 居士生活也并不是灵性进步的障碍。
Next，
下一个 Rajendra Prabhu Krishna 的宇宙形体和他的 Kala Rupa 时间形体是一样的吗？Is Krishna's universal form the same as his Kala Rupa?
Is Krishna's universal form the same as Kala Rupa?
Yes.
Why is this coming up? In what context?
你是基于什么是怎么提出这个问题的？是听到讲课当中的哪一部分的时候想到这个问题的呢？或者是在什么样的语境下读到书的哪块书里面怎么提出这个问题的？
他说是 Hare Krishna。
啊，马德金，您请讲。
啊，冉任帕布说也是有奉献者在问他的，他不知道怎么回答。
Because Rajendra Prabhu was asked by another devotee, he didn't know how to answer.
Okay. Well, I would defer. I'll defer this.To next week. Okay? Let me defer till next week for that.
这个我需要去查一下，下一周可以回答您。
Next.
下一个 Sati Madhiji 的问题，请问 Maharaj， 出席奉献者如何与 Guru 建立深度的情感连接呢？很多新人总觉得和 Guru 之间没有爱的交流，对 Guru 的信心和依附没有那么坚定和强烈，如何培养这种爱心交流呢？毕竟我们和 Guru 联谊的时间很有限。 Sati Madhiji， Maharaj， how can new devotees, beginners, build a deep emotional connection with their guru? Many new devotees feel that they don't have loving exchange with their guru, so their faith and attachment to their guru is not so firm and strong. So how can we cultivate the loving exchange with guru? Because after all, we don't, our association, the time we associate with guru is limited.
Well, it depends. You know, not every single disciple is going to have a very intimate, if you can use the word, relationship with his or her guru. It just won't be possible if the guru has many, many disciples. So I think that should be some criteria when one selects and what is one looking for. You know, if we're looking to the guru to be the be-all and end-all of everything, unfortunately, the guru gets cast into this position of, you know, the all-knowing one who is expected to give financial advice, marital advice, legal advice, business advice, and everything else. So we can't expect that, you know, the Diksha guru is going to do all of this and be all of this for us.
我们在每个奉献者在选择启迪灵性导师信之前，启迪灵性导师之前，先要想清楚，先要明白自己到底在要的是什么，到底在追求的是什么。灵性导师，尤其是当这个灵性导师有很多门徒的时候，他不可能和每个人有很亲密的关系，这是事实。如果我们一开始就期待这个启迪灵性导师是全能全知的，能给我们全方位的方方面面的细节者指导，能够给情感咨询、经济支持方方面面的建议，那是做不到的。
That said, you know, if we say we want to deepen the relationship, then, you know, there are things that we can do. We can take some initiative.
刚刚讲的是一方面，但与此同时，如果我们说，我说到要如何是，就是加深我们和灵性导师的关系情感的话，那从我们这一方，我们是有一些可以做的。
Listen to the guru's classes.
聆听灵性导师的讲课。
Ask questions if
提问
if that's if there's a facility for that, we ask questions.
如果有机会的话，可以提问。
Can write.
也可以写信。
You could arrange special classes if you know, you could appeal to the spiritual master that, you know, we have a group. Could you give us a class like that? Or it's the Gosi type thing, question and answers. So I think if we take the initiative, you know, as disciples, then that can go a long way to, you know, kind of inviting the guru more into our lives.
关于如何加深和灵性导师的连接，那作为门徒，我们需要更加的主动一些， 这样的话就能够大大的加深我们和灵性导师的关系。比如说我发展了一些奉献者，我在照顾着一个小组，那我就可以主动的向灵性导师申请请求，可不可以给我们的小组来定期讲课。
At the same time, we understand that there's two words, vapu and vani.
同时我们也明白有两种联谊，分别是两个词，就是 vapu 和 vani。
Vapu refers to the physical association.
Vapu 是直接的、亲身的联谊。
Vani, of course, the following instruction.
Vani 就是遵循训示。
Other two, Vani is more important.
两者之中 ，Vani 执行灵性导师的训示是更重要的联谊方式。
It was Prabhupada's experience that he always felt.The association of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur through following his instructions.
Prabhupada 本人也是他通过总是去追随他的灵性导师 Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 的训示，他时刻都感受到在和他的灵性导师联谊。
So if we're faithfully following the spiritual master's instructions, we will always feel his presence.
所以同样的，如果我们也能够时刻忠实的执行追随灵性导师的训示，我们也能够时刻感受到他的临在和他的联谊。
Srila Prabhupada only met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur a few times.
Srila Prabhupada 见过他灵性导师的次数也是屈指可数的。
Very few personal exchanges.
个人的亲自的沟通也是很少的。
But he always kept that instruction, and that's what cemented the relationship and kept it alive.
但是他却始终铭记着灵性导师的训示，并且设法执行灵性导师的训示。这样的话，他们的关系就得到了巩固，而且他们的关系总是保持着鲜活。
Yeah, so these are some thoughts and those are some practical things that you could do.
这是我的一些想法，就是关于怎样加深和灵性导师的关系一些实际的办法。
Next.
下一个杨改莲挖的是丁拜咕噜和丁拜翻译，请问怎样才能去除在休息路上的恐惧不安，怎样才能更恰当的放下自尊。是信心不坚定的原因吗？感恩古的解答，顶拜尼。Please accept my obeisances. How can I get free from fear and anxiety in practicing Krishna consciousness? How can I put down my self-esteem or self-dignity? I have low self-esteem. Is that because I...my faith is not, I don't have enough faith. I don't have, does that mean I don't have strong faith?
You know, we're all products of the past.
因为我们都是过往活动，我们现在的处境都是过往的活动造成的。
Just as we've been given.A certain gross body, we've also been given a certain subtle body.
我们得到了一具粗糙躯体，同时也得到了一套精微躯体。
And this is the result of past activities.
这些都是过往活动产生的结果。
Not only this lifetime, but in past lifetimes.
不光是这一世我过往活动结果造成的，还有过往许多生世的活动。
So some, you know, may be more confident, and others may be less confident.
可能有的人自尊心强，有的人自尊心不是那么强，有的人更自信，有的人不那么自信。
But if we're serious in our practice, we can transcend some of these. Gross and subtle bodily considerations.
但如果我们在修习上，规范修习上很认真的话，我们就能够超越这些粗糙的或是轻微躯体给我们的束缚。
The spirit soul, you know, is Satchitananda.
灵性的灵魂的特征是 Satchitananda, 永恒，充满知识，充满喜乐。
He doesn't suffer from any identity crisis.
灵性的灵魂不会面临身份危机。
He doesn't suffer from low self-esteem.
不会因灵性的灵魂不会因为自尊问题而受影响。
This is all our conditioned nature.
这些都是我们受条件限制的状况下表现出来的。
So, my experience is if we practice Krishna consciousness seriously, then you know we can transcend much of these things, and it won't be such an obstacle for us.
所以说我的经验就是，如果我们能够认真的修习 Krishna 知觉的话，我们就能够超越这些轻微躯体给我们的打扰，我们就不会受到影响了。
Because ultimately, each and every soul has the same opportunities to love and serve Krishna. That's extended to every soul.
因为终极而言，每一个灵魂都有平等的机会去爱 Krishna, 服务 Krishna.
So low self-esteem means that, you know, we feel ourselves inadequate, particularly as compared to others.
缺少自尊，或者是信心不坚定等等。也就是说我们感觉和别人相比我们不如别人，比别人低下等等。
Yeah, and okay, on the material level there are differences, but ultimately as spirit souls we all have an equal opportunity.
在物质的层面是有这样的差异，但是从灵性的角度讲，我们都是灵性的灵魂，不存在这样的问题。
So we should practice seriously, and we should offer the best quality of service that we can.
所以需要做的就是认真的做好我们的规范修习，然后尽可能的供奉高质量的服务。
You know, quantitatively, you know, someone might be doing more than we may be doing less quantitatively.
从服务的量上来讲，可能有的人比我们做的服务的量多。
But qualitatively, we all have the same opportunity.
但从服务的质上来说，我们都是有同等的机会的。
And Krishna is looking at the effort.
而 Krishna 看的是我们的努力。
Our sincere effort, that's what he's looking at.
我们真诚的努力，这是 Krishna 看的内容。
I recall from Ram Leela that when they were constructing the bridge to Lanka and the big powerful army, Hanuman and Sugriva and all, they were tossing these huge boulders into the sea.There was just a little spider there that was a spider?
Ant or a spider?
I think a spider. And just, yeah, I can't remember what it was now. But anyway, offering just some grains and being laughed at. But Ram said no. He's doing the same as everyone else according to his capacity. So that was appreciated.
就像Rama Leela, 主 Rama Chandra 的小游时光里面当Hanuman 和Sugriva 还有其他人一起，他们在建跨海大桥的时候，他们一次性能够搬很多石头，但有一个小蚂蚁还是小蜘蛛，他只能一次性搬一点点谷物大小的石子儿。然后因为他们的这个服务很看上去很微小，就遭到嘲笑。可是主 Ramachandra 却说他们的服务同样是有意义的， 因为他们也在尽自己最大的努力在供奉这个服务。Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Sati Mataji, 可以听到吗？
是的，是的，我可以听到，但是听不到Guru的声音
了。我也听不到了。我问一下，是不是信号不太好了？
Can you hear me?
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Did you hear what I said?
No.
You know, there's something wrong with your connection. Same problem
today,
yesterday.
Today,
you know, should check. There's no reason. There's no excuse for this. You're there. You should check it out and check the speed. There's a way to check the speed. Something's not right. Either it's not steady or whatever. You have to remedy this. There's no reason. You figure it out.
Okay.We just said Ramalila, that Lord Ramachandra said there's no difference, they all made their effort, right?
The point is, it was a squirrel. Squirrel. The squirrel helped.
Oh, 就是说这个 squirrel.
Oh, Krishna. I have on my altar a little brown little...animal is a little small furry animal with a big bushy tail.
Yes.
And when Ram stroked his back, that's where the lines came. Because the squirrel has the white lines in the back, right?
Yes, yes. 就是是小袋鼠也帮忙了，在这个建立这个跨海道大桥的时候，小袋鼠也帮忙了。
So it's not a question of quantity, it's a question of quality. And, if we try our best, then, you know, the Lord is satisfied, no doubt about it.
所以呢，最重要的不是我们服务的量大小，最重要的是质量。只要我们尽力了，主就会满足，会被取悦。
Just like, you know, if you can have two glasses,One glass may be larger than the other, but if they're both full, they're full. They're both full glasses.
就比如说我们有一个大容积的杯子，一个小容积的杯子，那只要虽然一个大一个小，但是两个杯子都装满了，那都是完美的。
Next.
下一个高进马德吉，我们吃不上普沙拉的时候怎么办呢？What should we do if we are not able to take prasadam?
Well, that's not much of a question. I mean, there's no information given as to why you can't. But okay, fine. What should you do if you can't? What, you can't take it ever or can't take it sometimes?It depends on our time, place, and circumstance. You know, if there are instances when we can't, okay, well, we do the best we can. At least we should not take foodstuff which has been contaminated by meat, fish, or eggs as far as possible. Then we take something, although it's not offered, at least it's not, you know, meat, fish, or eggs, okay? And, But as far as possible, this should be the exception to the rule. It shouldn't be the rule. And if we should figure out the ways and means of taking prasadam.
您这里只是没有具体的讲到底为什么吃不上prasadam，也没有说是经常是这样，一直都是这样，还是说偶尔的情况。一般的来说，在某些情况下，我们实在是没有机会的，没有这个条件吃上prasadam的话，至少我们避免要保证我们的吃的东西没有受到鱼肉蛋的污染。那这不能成为常态。一般情况我们还是要尽力的去设法能够达到prasadam 的标准，设法 能够荣耀到普沙当。
And we should, you know, if we can't, in the instances when we can't take prasadam, then we should just pray to the Lord, please forgive me, I can't take, you know, mercy in the form of your prasadam. Please, you know, arrange, please remove the obstacles so I can take prasadam.
在有些情况下的确是没有办法的时候，我们就要向主祈祷，祈祷我就说我现在没有没有条件，没有办法通过 prasadam 接受到你的仁慈，所以请你做出安排，让我能够荣耀到 prasadam。
Next，
下一个 Lilavati， 妈的奇门咕噜，这节目太好，都没时间念诵了，那么一边听一边念诵行吗？I enjoy the lecture. It's a very nice program. Because I'm hearing the lecture, I don't even have time to chant. So can I chant while hearing the lecture?
No.
不可以。
That is called inattentive chanting. We can't, the mind can only be...fixed on one thing at one time. You cannot listen to a lecture and chant at the same time.
边听课边念诵，那你的念诵就是不专心的念诵，因为我们的心意一次性只能专注在一件事情上，所以你不可能一边听一边念诵。
So do one or the other.
所以呢，一次性就做一件事。
You can't do both at the same time. Otherwise, you're inattentive while chanting.
不能同时做，否则的话，你念诵也是不专心的。
So figure out how to regulate, you know, your chanting, and you know, hopefully you'll be able to also listen to lectures as well.
所以想想办法，看怎么样安排你的时间，让你能保证你规律的念诵，又能够听上课。
But don't try to do two things at the same time. Next.
不要同时做两件事。Lalita Saki Madhaji from Taiwan. Dimai Guru Maharaj Ji 感谢解答问题。Gu 早上说会组织派书培训，派书训练，我们真的需要这样的训练。我们虽然长时间听了许多知识课程，但是在生活上有时运用不上，是否我们也应该有些知识劳力的训练，才不会停留在假象的知识层面。Guru Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. Thank you for answering these questions. You mentioned that we are going to have a training session to train devotees to distribute books. We really need such training. Also, we've been hearing philosophy courses for a long time. But in real life, sometimes we can't apply, we don't know how to apply, so we it's a great need that we need some training courses to teach us how to apply what we've learned so that we won't stay in illusory platform of knowledge.
I totally appreciate what you said and I agree.
我完全欣赏理解您所说的，而且我也同意。
And so, I mean, at least what I said earlier, that's something that I would like to work on, you know, a practical kind of a training for how to best distribute books or give a variety of different ways to distribute books and.So get some insights and some training from those who have been doing it and are currently doing it so that we can learn.
我的确是很愿意去组织这样的培训，而且想要激发奉献者，想出各种各样的渠道来派发书籍。我们知道有一些奉献者已经在很熟练的在派书了，派得很成功。我们可以请有经验的奉献者来和大家分享。
And, you know, I encourage other devotees, particularly those who are engaged with education and training to also think about and to give, training courses that are more applicative, they can more applied kind of courses that will enable one to actually to do things and gain necessary skills to be effective at performing those particular services.
我也在鼓励在参与教育培训服务的奉献者们也设计出一些课程能够教奉献者一些实用的技能能够做一些实际的服务。
Okay, last question. This will be the last question.
最后一个问题 Sita Rani Madhaji Dimbai Maharaj 橄榄翻译酱油醋茶还有巧克力等对 Krishna 直觉休息有哪方面的影响呢如果有影响为什么有的门徒追随 Guru 吃巧克力然后喝茶呢 This is from Sita Rani Madhaji is asking on behalf of a new devotee. Please accept my obeisances. How we've heard that soy sauce, vinegar, tea, and chocolate are not good for the practice of Krishna consciousness. I want to know how do they affect us?In our practice of Krishna consciousness, if there is really a bad effect, why some disciples are following their guru's footsteps to take chocolate and tea?
Okay, so what's the question here? How are these taking these particular substances affect the consciousness?
Yes, how does it affect our practice of Krishna consciousness?
Again, which one specifically? Soy sauce, what?
Soy sauce, vinegar, tea, and chocolate.
Okay, the thing is, there are foods in different modes of nature, and depending on the particular foodstuff, it can influence the consciousness, either tamagun or rajagun.
我们知道食物也在受着三种不同的物质三形态的影响，有善良形态、愚昧形态、善良形态、激情形态、愚昧形态的食物，它们相应的也会影响我们的知觉。
And generally, those things which are fermented for long periods of time.Are considered to be in the mode of ignorance.
一般来说，经过了长久的发酵的食物都被认为是愚昧形态的食物。
And sometimes, they're unclean and so on. So this is the reason we don't offer to Krishna. We don't offer these kind of fermented foods to the Lord.
有的时候也是因为不洁净。这些发酵了的食物，所以我们不把它供奉给主。
So that's the main point.
这是主要的原因。
We want to take things that are more in goodness, and that will help to elevate the consciousness or maintain the consciousness. And to the extent we take these other things.You mentioned chocolate and tea, so these are stimulants, Chocolate is a stimulant, and the caffeine in tea is a stimulant. So technically it's a type of intoxicant, and that influences the consciousness. So, we generally refrain from taking those foodstuffs.
一般我们是要去吃善良形态的食物，善良形态的食物能够有助于我们培养善良形态的知觉，所以呢，我们会避免这是愚昧形态的食物。说到茶和巧克力呢，茶里面有咖啡因，还有巧克力也算是刺激性的食物，所以这些都会容易让我们上瘾， 所以要尽量的避免。
At the same time, there are alternatives.
当然也有一些替代的选项。
For chocolate, for example, there's carob.
就是。
Carob is also from a bean pod, I think, and it has a similar flavor and so on. It's not an intoxicant.
就是比如说有人喜欢吃巧克力，那他可以选择用角豆粉来做一种甜品，这种味道吃上去是和巧克力是很像的。
There are also a number of teas which don't contain caffeine.
还有的茶是不含咖啡因的。
Different types of herbal teas, flower teas, and so on.
有一些花茶，还有一些草药茶，这些是不含咖啡因的，是可以喝的。
So, you know, if one is attached to the taste, there are alternatives.
所以说，如果特别喜欢喝茶或者是吃巧克力的话，可以有一些选项的，可以选择不含咖啡因的茶，可以选择用角豆粉做的一些食品。
So in general, we want to take food stuff that is conducive to producing or maintaining good consciousness.
所以一般的原则就是我们选择去吃有助于我们保持在好的知觉当中的食物。
And naturally refrain from those foodstuffs that alter the consciousness or degrade it.
避免有害或避免不利于我们知觉的食物，或者会降低我们知觉的食物。
Hare Krishna. So that is it for today. Almost 2 hours. And
there's the second part of this question.
Go ahead.
She's asking why if that is the case, why some disciples are following their guru's footsteps to eat chocolate and take tea.
Better ask them.
那你得问问他们了。
I have no idea. Ask them.
你问的你第二个问题就是为什么有的门徒追随咕噜吃巧克力喝茶呢？那你可以最好问问他们本人。
On that note, thank you very much for these questions.
感谢大家今天早上的提问。
Very thoughtful. I appreciate that.
都是经过思考的一些问题，我很感谢大家的问题。
Next Monday we'll resume with a talk.
下周一我们继续来讲我们的系列讲座。
So thanks Sati Mataji for facilitating.
感谢 Sati Mataji 来安排我们今天早上的讲课。
And thanks Shamalila for translation.
感谢 Shamalila 翻译。
And thank all of you for participating.
感谢所有奉献者们的参与。
Please take care and continue to take all necessary precautions to maintain good health.
请大家多保重，也继续采取必要的防护措施，保持健康。
Please continue to focus on the quality of your sadhana and your service.
继续专注在提高自己的萨达那质量、服务的质量上。
And have a heart full of gratitude for this wonderful process that Srila Prabhupada has very kindly bestowed upon us.
对于圣帕帕的仁慈的给予我们的这个 Krishna 知觉修习的程序，始终要心怀感恩。
Thank you very much, and we shall meet again in a week's time.
非常感谢大家，一周后同一时间我们再见。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.